Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you will be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weeping beareth precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I select from these two verses, bearing precious seed, because my subject is the precious parable. You may be seated. Jesus used parables 46 times in his teaching. The great abundance of his teaching was with parables. What is a parable? A parable is a principle that is true with a cast of characters that is fictitious. But the parable and the principle are true. In Mark chapter 4, there is a unique parable. And it's very important that we understand this parable, because within this parable, in Mark 4:13, Jesus said this. He said unto them, know you not this parable? He said, you don't know this parable? You don't know this parable? And then he said, how will you know all the other parables? In other words, all the 46 times I use parables, it's founded on this one parable. That's the reason why I call it a precious parable. A precious thing is something that is very valuable and generally very scarce. And there are very few people that apply this parable to their life. And yet Jesus said, all of my teaching hangs on this one parable. If you will bear with me, I'm going to read the entire parable. It'll take us a couple of moments. If you have a phone or a Bible, it says in Mark 4:1, and he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea of the land. And he taught them with many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. In verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Verse 8. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Jesus gives us an interpretation, gives us the parable, and then he said, what? You don't understand this parable? Let me interpret this parable to you. The key is that this is the most important parable of the entire Bible. The parable is so precious that it is written in code. The Bible said in Mark 4:10, and when he was alone, they that were with him, the multitude was gone, it's now just the 12, they asked him of the parable, said, we don't understand the parable. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest of any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Jesus said, this truth is so important, I do not want it to be understood by the world at large. This is a private parable to my people, to the people that follow me, to the people that are converted and born again. What is taking place here in this parable? Let's look at it for just a moment. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. A sower goes out to sow the seed. We all can get that picture. Back in the old days, and I remember even as a young man in small plots of ground, my daddy would go out and sow seed by hand, what they call broadcast, just throw the seed. Nothing would happen. We did that over on a property right here at the church several years ago, and I'd go by there for days, nothing happened, and then it rained, and then suddenly that whole piece of ground was green with grass. So that's what happened. The sower went out to sow. Who is the sower? Well, the key sower is Jesus Christ. But he said the fields are white, talking about the harvest, the laborers are few. So the sower is Jesus Christ and his laborers. What is the seed? The Bible said in Mark 4:14, the sower soweth the word. The seed, the, The seed is the word of God. Now, a lot of times we talk about money being seed. It's not the money that is the seed. It is the obedience to the word of God that is the seed. What is the purpose of sowing the seed? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, the purpose is defined. And he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Two purposes for sowing seed. Number one, bread. What is that? It's the sustenance of life. It's your food, it's your clothing, it's your automobile, it's your house. It's just your life. And so Jesus said, by sowing this seed, you are going to reap these things that are physical. Remember, he said, seek you first the kingdom of God. All these things shall be added unto you. The second is the fruits of righteousness. That is the spiritual and eternal life. So those are the two purposes of sowing seed. The seed, the word, is the absolute in this parable. It is the absolute. We can put in new lights. We can have television cameras. We can have the greatest singers, great speakers, whatever you have. But if you deviate from the word of God, it's all a waste of time. The word of God is the absolute in this parable. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. This is Isaiah 55:11. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it to. The word is not a variable. I've said this so much. You know, there's all kinds of music, and your music taste are usually generated by your age. You like a certain kind of music because you're a certain kind of age. And so if you do not want just to be an old fogey, quit criticizing the present day music. Because all that does is it says I'm old. I told you about Darlene Bishop had a lady that came to their church, and she criticized their music all the time. And she really caused a lot of dissension. Darlene went to her and said, you can't come to this church anymore unless you wear this T-shirt. The T-shirt said, it's not too loud, I'm too old. The woman actually wore it and came back and changed her attitude. And so when you say, I don't like that music, that's because of your age. Every generation has its music. And I've said this, and I've never heard anybody else say it, but it's so true. It's so true. The lyric belongs to God, but the rhythm belongs to man. God doesn't care what the rhythm is, but he does care what the word is. And it better make sure that your words of worship and your songs and your singing incorporate, exacerbate, enlarge, magnify God's word, that they are not a departure from that. And so the absolute in this parable is the word of God. What is the variable in this parable? The variable, the changing thing, the thing that is different is the soil. What is the soil? What is the soil in this parable? It's the human heart. The soil is the human heart. Why was David called the man after God's own heart? You know, it's really easy to be critical of people in the Bible because we have the hindsight of examining their life and looking at it, say, oh, they made a mistake here and they made a mistake there. How would you like for all of your life to be put in a book or on a video and everybody, you think they could find some criticism? So you can go through the Bible and you can find criticism of anybody. And yet David, with all of his weaknesses, was called the man after God's own heart. Did you ever wonder about that? In Acts 13:22, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. There's a key to that. Psalm 119:11, the word I have hid are sown in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The reason why David was called the man after God's own heart is because he sowed the word of God in his heart. There are four types of soil, or four types of human hearts. Number one is the wayside heart. Jesus talked about that. He explained it this way. And he said, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are people that place no significance on the word of God. Absolutely none. They don't believe the Bible is true. They don't believe the Bible speaks to them. They don't believe that it can change their life. They don't believe they're begotten by the word of God. And so this Jesus calls the wayside heart. The second is the stony heart. These are they likewise, Jesus said this, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the name's sake, immediately they are offended. So we've got two people here, two types of hearts, two types of soil. The first is, they say, you are crazy. Why do you go to church? They would not even give you the courtesy of coming with you on Mother's Day. They wouldn't even come here on Christmas because they're wayside hearts. But there's another group of people that he's talking about, and he said, these are the stony heart people. He said, they come and they say, wow, that is absolutely awesome. We love the music. We love this. We love that. Oh, this is great. And they're so excited. And then they fade away and you never see them again. He said, because they have no root. They have simply a stony heart. And they are happy and excited to hear the good news, the gospel, but it simply does not last in their life. They are shallow. The word is not allowed deep in their heart. They're easily offended. I mean, they're just so happy to be here. But the first time somebody looks at them in a different way, they're offended. Well, I'm never going to go back. You know, I read something yesterday I thought was neat. The person that has been, somebody said, you know the reason I don't go to church? I've been hurt. That's the reason I'm going to church. Somebody said, you know who has been hurt more by the church than anybody else? Said Jesus, and he still comes. Jesus has really been hurt by his church, folks, but he still comes. Folks, I can tell you, I've been insulted and offended more in church than I have all the horse sales I've been to in my life. I've been hurt more in the church, but praise God, I've also got more out of it. I just refuse to be offended anymore. I just refuse because I have put my trust in God and God alone. The next is the thorny heart. And these are they, Jesus said, that are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Their involvement in the world becomes so important that it chokes out God's word and their involvement in the kingdom of God. I know a man that circulates through this church about once every two or three years, and the reason why he does is he's a businessman. He's got about 10 churches in San Antonio area that he circulates through, and he's looking for new customers. You think he's coming here to hear the gospel? No, he's here to find customers. And then he will go to Cornerstone and find customers. Then he'll go to another church to find customers. He circulates through these churches. He's not here because he's hungry for the word of God. He's here because the cares of life, and he wants to make money, and he wants to make contacts. And you are a victim. He literally wants to get your business. I mean, he's not a bad man. It's not a con job. It's the business that he has. He just wants to make the contacts. There's a lot of people that are so caught up in this world that the kingdom of God becomes very secondary. Well, I'd like to be a Sunday school teacher, but you understand that that's when my little girl's soccer league practices on Sunday morning. A pastor friend of mine told me that one of his main leaders said, we won't be here the next 12 weeks. I said, why? I said, soccer. He said, really? Soccer is more important than God's house? That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. He calls this the thorny heart. Those that are good people, they would like to love the kingdom of God. They'd love to let the word of God come to fruition. But the cares of this life, there's something that I could do every Sunday that would make money. But Pastor Brandon and I, we make a lot of money on a lot of different things, but we simply won't do business if it's going to interfere with the word of God. You know, when we got in, I've been in the horse business all my life. My daddy was in it. But most horse activities happen on Sunday. That's when they show, that's when they race, that's when they do the stuff. And so I just made it, I wasn't going to do anything that involved showing horses, racing horses, because it's always going to be on Sunday. It's always going to be in competition with the Word of God, the kingdom of God in my life. And I promise you that I've made a lot more money than those people that said, no, I can't go to church because I have to go to my horse show on Sunday. The Lord has blessed us financially. I paid $4,000 for a horse from Lawrence Bishop, the last horse I ever bought in person. Shook hands, gave him $4,000 for it. Brandon told me the other day that horse has made us almost $100,000, and we didn't have to miss church one time to do it. Not one time. Friend, I'm going to tell you what. If you will get the word of God in your heart, and you won't let it be choked out, God will make up the things you think you're losing. The devil's always going to say, well, if you go to church, you're going to miss out on that. I saw one of our ladies, and I was so proud of her, because her daughter had to make a decision whether she was going to go to dance camp or church camp. And they said, well, if you go to church camp, we're not going to let you dance. She went to church camp. God will make it up to you. I've told you the story. When I was a little boy, I used to pitch Little League, and I loved to pitch, and I never lost a game pitching Little League. And the pastor came to my daddy and said he can't miss any more church, and so my daddy pulled me out of Little League, which I'm surprised, because he was a major baseball fan, but he did. And I've always been thankful that he did, because if that had become a pattern in my life, I wouldn't be standing here today. But a pattern was disrupted by being obedient to the Word of God and putting God first and not letting the Word of God be choked out of my life. Remember, the purpose of the seed is to minister seed to the sower, that it might bring bread for your food and multiply your seed. And last, the fourth one is the good heart. It's the good ground. It's the fertile ground. And these are they which are sown, Jesus said, on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And so this is that person that hears the word of God. You remember what happened in the book of Acts when the church began? These people were convicted in their hearts because Peter said, you are the people that crucified Jesus Christ. It's your fault that Christ was crucified. But just a little later, it said they gladly received the word and were baptized. There's going to be a gladness about the word of God. You've got to realize the power of the word of God. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The Word of God framed the world, and we understand that by faith, he said in Hebrews. The Word of God, if it becomes preeminent and prominent in your life, it will cause you to receive the bread of life, in other words, everything you need in life, but more than that, it will cause you to receive the fruits of righteousness, which are spiritual and eternal life. And so when we understand that, but the Bible said when that seed is sown, Satan comes immediately to steal it away. Why does he do that? Satan understands the possibility of the Word of God in your life. And so when you hear the Word of God, he tries to distract you. If you've got a baby, it's going to cry at the point where you're supposed to hear a truth that's going to change your life. If you've got a weak kidney, it's going to kick in at the moment you need to hear the Word of God. If you've got somebody sitting on your pew that likes to clip their nails, they're going to get their nail clippers out and start distracting you when the Word of God is going forth. I was preaching a word in a great church in Fort Worth, Texas years ago, it wasn't this big, but it seemed about half this many. And the pastor and I was walking in the day in the church the next day, and we found nails, not fingernails, but toenails. Somebody had sat on the back seat of the church while I was preaching and clipped their toenails. Now, well, you can get by with fingernails, but we're going to draw the line at toenails. But the devil does his very best to distract you. But he said one of his main things is that when that seed is sown, the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Let me explain to you that just because you're a Christian, walking in the Spirit and living in the Word, that you are not extinct and you are not deprived and you are not prevented from the things of this world. They still come against you. Satan still attacks. The fowls of the air will still come against you. But the Word of God said in Isaiah, he said, the Word of God will not return void. Ladies and gentlemen, I make sure that I walk in the Word. I believe the Word of God. The Word of God is greater than my intellect. It's greater than my feelings. It's greater than my friends. It's greater than the doctrine and philosophies of men. It's greater than the doctrines of denominations. It's greater than what the political commentator says. It's greater than the news. It's greater than the trend. It's greater than the culture. I believe in the Word of God above all. And I don't always see it happening exactly like I think it will. But praise God, I found out if I'll be faithful to the Word of God, God will bring that word back to me. It will not return to him void until it is accomplished in my life what God wants to make it accomplish. And I love this. He said, the fowls of the air come and steal the word away. And there are times when the fowls, that is the negative things. That's the bad things. That's the things that are totally against me. They come and they steal the word out of my life. Now, at that point, I can panic, I can stop, I can quit, I can make a lot of terrible confessions, or I can stand on the word of God. Having done all to stand, I will stand. And so we read in the Bible about Elijah. Elijah was a man of God, very obedient to the word of God. And the Bible said that Elijah was commanded of God to go to the brook Cherith. And I love what it says in verse 5 of 1 Kings 17. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. That's my message to you today. You'll have a dozen decisions every day, whether you are going to do what is expedient at the moment, what is comfortable, what is easy, what the world is doing, or what God's word says. And you have to make those decisions. And so there were so many things Elijah could do, but he went and did according to the word of the Lord, which was to go down to the brook Cherith. And the Bible said, God said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The key to that whole phrase is ravens. Ravens, not the doves that came back and ministered to Noah, but the ravens. The ravens are the fowl. They are scavengers. They are buzzards. They are takeaway. Friend, the devil is going to cause all kinds of things to happen in your life that is supposed to diminish you and take away, but my God has the power. If you will go and be obedient to the word of God, he will take the raven, he will take the fowl, he'll take the negative boss, he'll take the critical neighbor, he'll take the ex-wife, he'll take people that are designed to be your enemy. Instead of being your enemy, suddenly you will find that they are doing things that they don't know why they're doing. I told you my favorite thing in the world is when I am in negotiations, when somebody that is secular and not Holy Ghost filled starts it with, I don't know why I'm doing this. That's my favorite phrase in every negotiation. If I'm negotiating a loan for the church, property for the church, if I'm negotiating a business deal for myself, and when they say, I don't know why I'm doing this, what that tells me is, this is going against my very nature. I don't want to do this. I didn't plan on doing this, but there's something making me do that. And I'll tell you what it is. It's the same God that changed the nature of the ravens. Because the nature of the raven is to take away, not give. They come to earth and they're scavengers. They take it away. But God said, I've changed it now. That raven is going to reverse his nature. Did you ever hear the phrase, reverse the curse? That's what God is talking about. What the devil means for evil, the Lord is going to turn to good. There's just one thing you've got to do. That is go and do according to the word of God, and God will turn around and he will make the word of God accomplish the purpose for which he has sent it in your life. Hallelujah. Give God some praise in this house today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've told you this great stories we had in this property. Getting this property was not easy. Every neighbor was against us. We started buying this property about the time that Jim Jones was killing people in the jungle. All of our neighbors except one was Catholic, and they thought I was Jim Jones and this was a cult. And they did not want us here. They literally came out with guns all around this property. They came against us. But all we did was do the word of God. And I remember in the zoning meeting when we were fighting to get our zoning changed, it was deadlocked. And the woman that circulated the petition stood up and said, I don't know why I'm doing this. Let me tell you, that's just a big phrase. Listen to it. When you hear somebody say that, that means you're getting ready to get a miracle. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm doing this. I'll tell you why you're doing this. His word does not return void. The scavengers, the fowl, the ravens are fixing to feed me big time. She said, this was the lady that circulated the petition against us. But she said, I don't know why I'm doing this. I never will forget her words as she started to cry in that city hall over here in Live Oak. And she's cried. And she said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I've changed my mind at the last moment. I want the Reverend to have his church. 15 minutes later in the courtyard, she said, I made a mistake in there. Oh, she didn't know why she did it. The word of God will not return void. When one of the men that literally told me, he said, that building you've got over there, talking about the other building we were in, he said, it will not deflect my deer rifle, I'll tell you that. In other words, he was threatening my life with a deer rifle. He became one of my friends. He gave this church $14,000 one time. He's still a Catholic, but praise God, he gave us $14,000. He is a friend of mine today. We've never brought up the incident about the rabbi, about the rifle and the threat. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to drudge up those kind of things. All I'm going to tell you is, I don't know why I'm doing this. Not only do people say that, I say it to myself sometimes. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to write the check. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to go out of my way and talk to this lady. I don't know why I'm doing this, but this person has been so mad, mean to me at work, I'm going to take them out to dinner. I don't know why I'm doing this. I'll tell you why you're doing this. It's because God's word rules supreme. God's word rules supreme. So my question to you today, do you have a wayside heart? Do you have a stony heart? Do you have a thorny heart? Or do you have a good heart that says, God, my ear is inclined to hear the word of God because I trust in that word and I know if I will do what you tell me to do, it's all going to turn for my good. I'm going to be blessed coming in and I'm going to be blessed going out. I'm going to be blessed in the field and I'm going to be blessed in the city. I am going to be blessed. I'm going to overflow with the power of the living God in my life. Because I live the Word, I eat the Word, I think the Word, I quote the Word, I walk in the Word, I meditate on the Word of God, and all that I do shall prosper. Stand on your feet, lift your hands, and give God some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's somebody in this building right now, you have conflict in your life. You're in a real strait, as the Apostle Paul said.